Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Lots to talk about here on this Monday morning, Montana Talks. We've got the phone lines open for you if you got something you want to talk about as well. 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. This was such a great conversation on Friday. After the show wrapped up, I was able to head over to the Glacier Pachyderm Club in Kalispell. They had a great speaker, Christopher Young, with the U.S. Border Patrol. I believe he is the agent in charge of the Whitefish Border Patrol Station, which is under the Spokane sector. The Spokane sector covers down, basically, I think it's Glacier National Park, Whitefish, Flathead area. They even cover down into Butte and then over to the Pacific Northwest. And then, of course, you've got the Havers sector, which is what covers north central and then into northeastern Montana as well. But, yeah, Christopher Young sounds like just a great career of service to this country. Can you imagine being in his boots the last 4 years? I mean, it was really fascinating to hear from him. And yeah, I did offer, if he wants to join us on the radio, if he can join us on the radio. A lot of times these federal agencies are pretty protective with having their folks do, you know, over-the-air live interviews and things like that. But we would sure love to have him or any of our other great Border Patrol agents join us on the show. But I'll just share some of the highlights, some of the notes from his public talk at the Pachyderm Club in Kalispell on Friday. 118 illegal aliens arrested in the last year compared to just 4 the year prior. That shows you what a difference there is just in the Flathead Valley alone when you go from a Joe Biden open borders agenda to a Donald Trump border security agenda. In fact, I thought one of the best analogies that was used was basically these Border Patrol agents went from having themselves in handcuffs to now putting the criminal illegal aliens in handcuffs and getting them out of here. So 118 illegal aliens arrested in the last year compared to 4 of the year prior to that. Now, what about the businesses? What about the employers that are hiring some of these illegal aliens? You remember earlier this year, we had the story on our Montana Talks website. There was a big bust at a job site in Big Fork. So what is happening with these folks who are hiring these criminal illegal aliens? Well, he says there are a couple of criminal cases that are going on right now targeting employers. They've also had sanctions that have been levied against some of these employers as well. So I know that's something that I think we've even heard about in a bipartisan basis. Even our friend Ken in Great Falls says, hey, why don't we go after the businesses that are hiring these illegal aliens? Hey, sounds like we all agree on that one, and sounds like something is being done. More to follow right after this.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so great. I know I saw so many great longtime friends at the Glacier Pachyderm Club in Kalispell on Friday. Of course, Francis in Big Fork was there. Ray Thompson was speaking as we walked in to the event. And then, of course, Tom and Carol and Bob Heron was there. And just a whole, Sam Nunnally was there. Just a whole bunch of great folks in the crowd. Former state legislators, many names that you'd be familiar with in the room. But obviously, it was a packed house because everybody wanted to hear directly from one of our great Border Patrol agents on just what is going on now. Because we know that, yeah, even though 118 illegal aliens have been arrested in the last year just in that sector alone, there's a lot more to go. There's a lot more where those came from. And you can see it, frankly. All you got to do is pop into some of the box stores off of Highway 93, and you will see it. You will hear it almost any time of the day. The other point that the Border Patrol agent in charge of Whitefish made was, think about the hundreds of thousands of dollars that are leaving this area every year because illegal aliens are being hired. So not only are we seeing, you know, additional crimes being committed on top of the crime of entering this country illegally. I don't know why we have to remind people. You hear people try to somehow break it down like, well, why are they going after the non-criminals instead of just the criminal illegals? Being an illegal alien is a crime. When you enter this country illegally, you are a criminal and should be treated as such. But you hear people try to parse it out. Well, why aren't they just going after the criminals? They're all criminals if you're in this country illegally. Hop in line like all of the great legal aliens did and continue to do to enter this country. But on top of this, you know, I think a lot of people were very pleased to hear that the businesses are now being gone after here in a big way. You guys probably saw this story out of Georgia, where now even the South Korean government, is having to apologize and saying, okay, we're sorry this happened. We don't know how all these people, you know, got there illegally. And I think behind the scenes, the South Korean government's working to fix it. And I'll bet you there's some heads rolling at Hyundai following that whole deal. We talked about it last summer when we had retired Border Patrol Chief Chris Clem join us on the show, and we did our statewide tour with him and Americans for Prosperity Montana. AFP had one of their immigration policy experts join us at those events and join us on the show. And speaking of Georgia, he talked about how in Georgia, under the Biden administration, if you were a farmer and you did things the right way, the legal way, and tried to use existing immigration programs, visa programs, to hire foreign farm workers the legal way, they made it harder for you to do business. They made it harder for you to get farm workers legally. But the guy down the street, if he chose to just go hire illegal aliens, they made it easy for him. They didn't go hard on him at all. And that was... you know, symbolic of the anarcho-tyranny that we saw, especially over the last 4 years. The anarcho-tyranny, similar to what we see with the crime in these blue cities right now as well. But yeah, I remember, you know, when this topic of illegal immigration would come up last year, I mean, it wasn't just our conservative friends who were saying, hey, who's hiring some of these illegal aliens? What are they going to do to go after the people that are hiring these illegal aliens? And of course, the Biden regime, they turned a blind eye to it. They manipulated electronic systems to allow employers to evade detection while hiring illegal aliens. Hell, they even tried to prosecute one of Elon Musk's companies for saying that they were only going to hire American citizens. And they prosecuted. They went after that company for doing that. Now, the shackles are off law enforcement, and the handcuffs are going on the criminals. Yeah, the Border Patrol agent talked about how hundreds of thousands of dollars are leaving this area every year. Think about all that money that could be going into your schools, into your local businesses. They could be going into the pockets of American citizens with higher wages, but instead, they bring illegal aliens into these communities. The illegal aliens ship all of that money back home to their native countries, and all that wealth, all that capital just leaves the United States of America. Kind of like the way that the Biden regime's environmental policies destroyed business in America and so much more. But yeah, now they've got a couple of criminal cases targeting employers, and they've already had apparently several sanctions that have been levied against some of these employers as well. Steve in Ballantyne, first up on the phone line. Steve, what's your thoughts? Thanks for the call.
Good morning, Aaron. You know, I am all for legal immigration. like a lot of us in this country. But one thing that, you know, needs to be stressed, though, is they need to learn our ways. Legal, come in here. That's great. They need to speak our language. They need to do everything because they're coming into this country where English is our language. And they just need to go, our, you know, do it our way. I have no problem with them coming in legally. But, you know, because why all these schools, especially during Biden, all these schools and all these government facilities and stuff where the taxpayer is having to pay translators, other people to come in and translate all these languages.
Every immigrant population in American history did that and learned the language. Why wouldn't that happen now? Good point.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, you know, earlier when I was referencing seeing so many friends at the Pachyderm Club in Kalispell on Friday at lunchtime, the reason I started to say that was because what I wanted to tell you guys was, hey, if you were there at that Pachyderm meeting with the Border Patrol agent, what stood out to you? What do you think folks all across Montana need to hear after hearing his message? Because I took some notes, but I'll bet you took some notes as well. 406-294-0970. Or if you just want to send us a quick note on the Montana Talks app, you can do that as well. The other thing that I think is important to stress, and I know we've got some great internet sleuths out there. I know we've got some great investigators, citizen journalists, we might call you out there. This is where you can help out. So you guys have heard us talk about how the far left Democrat activists in Whitefish have been protesting against the great men and women that work for the Border Patrol. They've been protesting right outside the Border Patrol office. Well, another thing that we heard is that some of those protesters were doxing and stalking these Border Patrol agents, trying to get video of their personal vehicles as they were leaving the office, trying to follow them to their homes so they could find out where they live. I mean, that's how despicable some of these folks are. That's how sick and twisted some of these folks are. They want to transform this country into something else. They despise what this country was founded on. They call it democracy. In fact, they have a Facebook page where they call themselves Flathead Democracy. Democracy. Their version of democracy is allowing everybody from anywhere to flood into this country and then vote in the elections to take away your vote. That's their version of Flathead Democracy. But this is where you internet sleuths could come in. Let's find out who is funding and who is behind this Flathead Democracy group and see what other organizations they are tied to in the Flathead Valley and in Montana. And let's see who is funding them. They want to dox the great men and women of our Border Patrol. Some of them, at least one of them, has issued death threats against our Border Patrol agents. I certainly hope that prosecutors are aggressively pursuing all leads on that front and will prosecute these folks who are issuing death threats against the great men and women in the Border Patrol. They want to dox the men and women that are risking their lives to serve us, to secure our country. This is where you great citizen journalists can come in and follow the money and help us find out who is propping these people up. All to tear down a democracy, not to build up a democracy. Of course, we are a republic and a republic for a reason. 406-294-0970. Speaking of national security, I had a great conversation here recently with Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines talking about Malmstrom Air Force Base and the upgrade to the Sentinel missile system. Do you guys remember how people used to talk about the potential of losing Malmstrom Air Force Base and how big of an economic hit that would be to Great Falls and Montana? Well, you shouldn't hear that talk anymore because the future of Malmstrom Air Force Base is strong. That's what Senator Steve Daines and I talked about last week before Montana Coffee in Washington, D.C., where he gave us an update about this very important and massive Sentinel missile system here in Montana.
The Senator, talking about this Sentinel missile system upgrade.
3 minutes.
This is a, in one way, this is a massive construction project for Montana. I first heard a big update on this Sentinel program at the Montana Association of County Road Supervisors a couple years ago, because this is going to mean a lot of county roads that need to be upgraded in the midst of this as well. What's the latest on this upgrade right now from what you're hearing? Because what we heard during the Biden years was delays, cost overruns. I'd imagine Mr. Construction, Donald J. Trump himself, is not going to want to see delays and cost overruns again, and he's going to work with, you know, senators like you to get this thing up and running.
Well, following the briefing I had at Malmstrom in August, and by the way, again, just so proud of that team and the leadership, is they're doing some common sense as it relates to managing a project, and that is you really work the ground up versus, you know, top level Pentagon stars, top down, just really bottom up. And that's a really important way to make sure the project is done with more common sense. So often these massive military projects are driven by the top brass at the Pentagon. And with all due respect, truly, to the top brass, oftentimes they can be disconnected from the realities on the ground. And that's why your best leaders in the military, your best leaders in a business, are the ones who are in closest touch with the folks on the ground. And that's what's changed here under President Trump. And we had an extensive conversation about that, because you want to have more of a bottom-up kind of approach. There's so many things as we're going to be building this out in Montana that are being led now from folks on the ground with that input to the top versus folks who are isolated driving it. So that by itself, I think, is one of the important changes you're going to see because of President Trump and his team that's going to deliver a much better outcome for that project. By the way, that's going to be one of the largest capital projects, probably in the history of Montana. I mean, this is going to be billions of dollars in upgrading this missile system. And one of the parts of my briefing I had at Malmstrom was a classified briefing. We went into the SCIF to talk about China's threat, to look at what capabilities China is building out with their military. And Aaron, I got to tell you, there's something that should be keeping us all up at night. It's looking at the rapid advancement of the Chinese military, what they are doing also in their nuclear mission. And that's why what we're doing there in Montana is so important, because when you look at the nuclear triad, in the nuclear triad, you've got the ICBMs, the land-based missiles. You've got the submarines, they call them the boomers, that are out there in the bottom of the oceans there with the nuclear capability. And the third part of that triad is the airlift that we have. If there were a nuclear holocaust, a first strike against the United States, your submarines and your airlift are very vulnerable to be taken out, because the bases would be taken out with a first strike. But because of our ICBMs, the 150 in Montana, the 150 in Wyoming, 150 in North Dakota, 450 of them spread out across a vast land mass, there's no way an adversary can take out our ICBMs in a first strike. That means we have second strike capabilities, and because we have second strike capabilities, that prevents an adversary from a first strike. And that's why the ICBM mission will survive a first strike, and that's why it's the most important part of the nuclear triad to prevent any kind of, you know, doomsday scenario from a mad regime decided to strike against the United States. So this just comes back home to us in Montana that we have a very important mission to keep the world safe. It is truly peace through strength, and that's why what's going on in Great Falls is so important.
A vital national security mission, especially in light of the rapid advancement of China's nuclear capabilities. They're also developing more hypersonic capabilities as well. It's been in the open source news, but from from an economic standpoint, I remember when they used to say that Malmstrom was dying, that eventually Malmstrom was going to be pulled out of there. That's 40% of the Great Falls area economy. This is a reminder that not only is this an important national security infrastructure, but Malmstrom shouldn't be going anywhere either.
No, it's not. And that's something they've been fighting for a long time. But the good news is that the mission sells itself. And that's why it's going to be continually supported and why it's going to be there a long, long time. Again, it's the most important part of the three-legged triad that we have with our nuclear mission. It is those ICBMs. And now we're going to be moving into the next generation. You know, the challenge we face is you go back to that the age of that system. It's an age, it's an old system, and it goes back to, of course, President Kennedy and the famous Cuban Missile Crisis, the ace in the hole there, where it was a missile that was turned on hot there in Montana that gave President Kennedy the leverage he needed during that Cuban Missile Crisis. And that's a great heritage, a proud heritage we have in Montana, a state that has one of the highest per capita veteran populations in our nation. We can be very, very proud that mission in Great Falls, and by the way, Great Falls and Malmstrom competes with F.E. Warren in Wyoming and Minot in North Dakota. They have a friendly competition between the three bases that have the ICBM, the nuclear mission. And the Montana base there, Malmstrom, consistently ranks as the number one of those three bases, and they currently have the trophy. They do a scoring competition every year. Guess who's got the trophy right now? Malmstrom Air Force Base. So not only is that,
and what a beautiful location there, right at the base of the Rocky Mountain front, the Missouri River running right through there. Great people, great Golden Triangle community. Senator Steve Daines, we greatly appreciate your time. I imagine you got to run into Montana Coffee. If not, you're welcome to stick around longer after the Farm and Ranch Report. But I'll bet you got a Montana Coffee to head to. It's Wednesday.
We got some Montans in D.C. today. We're headed to coffee right now with Senator Sheehy, Congressman Zinking, Congressman Downing. We're heading there right now. So great catching up with you, Aaron.
Hey, great catching up with you as always. Thanks so much for your time, Senator Steve Daines. All right, quick break. Back after the Farm and Ranch Report.
Okay, and then we'll have the phone lines open for you at 406-294-0970. In fact, speaking of the phone lines, if you are one of the folks that just tried calling in, our friend Michael is filling in for Caden this morning, and he says he accidentally hit the mute button on the phone. So if you were calling in and couldn't hear him or vice versa, call back right now. This headset, for some reason, it's got a mute button right where you go to pick up the headset. So it happens all the time. I'm like, maybe we could just conveniently lose that headset and just find another one from another studio. Because, I'd be smacking that mute button all the time just by accident. Because, you're trying to read the news, respond to the news, everything else. Anyway, give us a call right now if we missed you. 294-0970.
Fox on set. Does AI need to respect copyright law? The big movie studios say you bet. Warner Brothers becomes the latest Hollywood movie studio to file a lawsuit against Midjourney, the creators behind a very popular image generation AI. Warner Brothers accuses the artificial intelligence operators of stealing their intellectual property, allowing users to create images of their trademark characters, such as cartoons like Scooby-Doo and Bugs Bunny, to the DC heroes like Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman, calling the AI's use of the images breathtaking piracy. The complaint is filed in Los Angeles federal court. The lawsuit follows similar court action by both Universal and the Walt Disney Company. Midjourney rejects all these claims, saying using those images, whether it's Shrek or Darth Vader, to train generative AI is legal, falling under the fair use doctrine in the copyright laws. With Fox on Tech, I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Your News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home for Fox News, Hannity, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
President Trump has signed an order finalizing a trade agreement with Japan that is projected to boost U.S. agricultural exports by $8 billion annually. Japan currently imports about $12.9 billion in U.S. farm goods each year. As part of the deal, Japan will increase U.S. rice purchases by 75% under its minimum access scheme and expand its imports of corn, soybeans, fertilizer, bioethanol, including sustainable aviation fuel and other products. Additionally, Japan committed to investing $550 billion in the U.S. with projects directed by the U.S. government aimed at creating jobs, strengthening manufacturing, and enhancing long-term prosperity. In other news, the North Dakota Department of Environmental Quality is advising the public to avoid parts of the Cannonball River in Hettinger County after a chemical spill last week. The spill, which included 200 gallons of diluted herbicides and approximately 15 gallons of diesel, occurred Wednesday morning when a tractor and sprayer fell into the Cannonball River, roughly a mile west of New England in southwest North Dakota. The Department of Environmental Quality Spill Investigation Program team does not expect any long-term negative impacts from the spill. Approximately 15 gallons of diesel also spilled, causing a light sheen on the water. The river is not a source of drinking water, nor is there any risk of downstream effects, according to state officials. I'm Lee Northlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. And, yeah, like I say, if you tried calling in the last few minutes, our friend Michael is filling in for Caden this morning, who's got the morning off, and just a couple of tricky things with our headsets and microphones. So anyway, he should be able to hear you now. So if you tried calling before, call back in again, 406-294-0970, because, yeah, we want to hear from you. In fact, I think we got a caller on the phone lines right now. Is it Greg Franks from Billings back with us? Is that who we got on the phone right now? Or is that a caller from Columbia Falls? I'm looking at the caller ID here. Is that somebody else on the phone lines? Who we got?
Chris
in Columbia Falls. Okay, I wondered. I saw Columbia Falls. Okay, because they messaged me that Greg Franks was on the phone lines, but I see we got Chris in Columbia Falls. All right, well, go ahead, Chris. Great to hear from you. What's on your mind this morning?
Oh, don't you guys get confused.
that'll happen. That'll happen easily.
Topic would be ideological brush fires. Now, if you want to put a face on all this, and I've been looking at this for many years, so what happened was what Khrushchev did when he tried to employ his power into this country at that time. Now, the point is the Soviet Union did, now, are they in control over Russia now, really? I think so. So when they implied that Khrushchev could not fight a war with the United States and win, so they had to find another way of doing it. And from what I used to read, was to cause a satellite brush fire. And now it's far more complicated. So if you want to put a face on a lot of this stuff that you're seeing, and you can just track the people who are carrying the communist agenda. They want to bury the United States. You know that, and I know that. I mean, if you want to say, well, the Russians, they're the cause of most of ours, well, certainly are, as a human, imply that they do. They want to take over this country, so, you know, we willingly will not go along with it, but they want to do it by confusion and apply all of these brush fires that they're causing, and they don't go out to win. Look at you know what's happening now. You know they don't want to seem to win and take over these countries, but they want to confuse America. So they do it through all kinds of methods that they've been trying.
Yeah, see, this cultural Marxist revolution that you're seeing underway, that President Trump is the counter-revolutionary towards, right? One man taking on this fight. That's why he is involved in so many different aspects of this fight all across America right now. That's why he is combating this anarcho-tyranny that we are seeing right now when it comes to the crime in these blue cities, and this horrific case out of Charlotte, North Carolina, where a career criminal who was put right back out on the streets time and time again, 14 different times this career criminal was put back out onto the streets, and then what happens? What happens? A young innocent woman who escaped the war-torn country of Ukraine, she flees to America for safety, and she is slaughtered on public transit in Charlotte, North Carolina, by a career criminal. And this happened back on August 22nd. And all of those people with Ukraine flags in their social media bios haven't said squat about it. And all those folks in the left-wing media that did thousands of puff pieces on George Floyd haven't said squat about her killing. Nothing. And that happened back on August 22nd. It wasn't even like it just happened over the weekend here. 406-294-0970, the number for you. Let's see. We do have Greg Franks now with us on the phone lines. Hey, Greg, thanks for calling in. You just sent me an email with a very interesting post on X about cryptocurrency and how important it is to our national debt. And I was like, man, Greg, you got to call in on this one. I mean, I can share the tweet over the air, but I want to hear it in your words. So thanks for calling in.
Well, let me preface this. I'm by no means an expert. I study the financial markets, and I follow economic stories. And there's a post on X this morning that had a video clip of Anton Kolbyakov, I think is how you pronounce his name. He's a finance minister for Russia. And then there he made a statement about what America is doing with gold and the cryptocurrencies. And I thought it was a very interesting point, and especially in light of what happened with the Genius Act, with stable coins and allowing stable coins to banks to issue stable coins, or stable coins to become banks, however way you want to look at that, where they're able to use stable coins backed by U.S. Treasuries in order to help stabilize it. So I'm always looking for different perspectives, and this is what Kolbyakov has said. Right now, America's trying to change the rules on gold and crypto markets. Remember what debt they have, $35 trillion. In general, these are two alternative currencies for world markets segmentation. Washington's actions in this direction clearly demonstrates one of Americans' main tasks. They really want to solve the problem with lowering the trust of the dollar. The USA, as it was in the 30s and 70s, will solve their financial problems at the expense of the world by driving everyone into cryptocurrency cloud. In time, when part of the U.S. debt is placed on stable coins, they're going to devalue that debt. To put it simply, now they have $35 trillion cash, and they drive them into cryptos, devalue them, and start from zero. This is for those who really love to do crypto. And that's a quote that he had there. And so with the Genius Act, one of the things that they did is that by allowing the banks to issue their own stable coins and that, allowing to do it. And this could just be Russian propaganda in some regard, but I do believe that's kind of part of the Fed's plan, is to monetizing the debt somehow through crypto. And, you know, some of this you're seeing with gold hitting, I think, 3650 today. I mean, another all-time high. Cryptos are kind of struggling the last few weeks. But I found it a very fascinating perspective on this as to what's going on.
Definitely. I mean, it makes sense because the only reason it makes sense to me is because I've enjoyed, talking about this over a good cigar or two with you over the past few months, because you've been talking about how, look, the Trump administration, the Trump team is working through a variety of mechanisms to deal with our national debt, $36, $37 trillion, whatever it's at right now. Part of it is lowering spending and DOGE and lowering spending and more rescissions packages and appropriations. Another part of it is lowering interest rates, because just by refinancing some of our debt at these higher interest rates, wow, massive increase in the national debt. But is there something to not only making the United States the global leader in a cryptocurrency framework that's good from an economic standpoint for America, but is it also a way to eventually pay down more of our national debt just through a series of brilliant maneuvers? That makes sense to me, Greg.
One of the ideas that's being floated around there with Bessent and a conversation about a sovereign wealth fund Jim Rickards is kind of promoting this. I think he's got an angle on it for self-promotion. But regardless, I think one of the possibilities of what they're looking at doing is the vast amounts of natural resources that we have in the ground. A lot of those are on federal land, reducing leases to leverage that. And, you know, if anybody, I wrote that article back in 2011, can Trump take us out of receivership? That was posted on American Thinker.
That's right.
And the thing of it is, Trump took a couple companies bankrupt and knows how to leverage and how to run the finances. So very possibly that this is all part of the plan of what they're trying to do to get us out of this huge hole that 50 years of
that we're in. Yeah.
Hold that
thought. Quick break here. We'll come back to you after this.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. If you call in now, we should be able to get to you before we run out of time this hour of the show. Back to Greg Franks in Billings. Yeah, Greg, all of this totally makes sense to me because I think President Trump has just a brilliant financial team that he has assembled. I mean, Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, it was pretty funny to watch him, you know, respond to Kristen Welker on Meet the Press over the weekend. But, you know, one of the points that Scott Bessent made over the weekend is because she was saying, well, Goldman Sachs says that blah, blah, blah is going to happen to the economy. And he's like, you know what? I made a lot of money trading against Goldman Sachs, so I have no problem doing it again here. But that's why I really think they have a multi-prong approach to tackling our national debt, not just simply lowering spending. And frankly, you've got to have a multi-prong approach. It is that big of a problem facing this country.
I actually think it's a little bit bigger than that. I think if you look at the top five banks, Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, JP Morgan, those banks, everybody wonders who the secret members of the Feds are, and it's pretty evident that they are part of that, for lack of a better word, cabal. And there's been a lot of reports that Trump's trying to destroy the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve has been taking advantage of the American people, the American taxpayers, since its establishment 110 years ago or so. And look at the value of what they've done to the dollar, the currency. It's a constant rake of 1%, 2% a year, 3% a year that they're raking off the table. And that's the largest impact of, I believe, what's been hitting the middle class, is that they're losing their purchasing power. Their incomes aren't growing to the level of it. And elevating asset prices to where it makes it really difficult for the average American to operate. And so I would think that would be part of Trump's anti-establishment, drain the swamp movement as well. They're not broadcasting that, but that's what my speculation on it is.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, Greg, thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you. Yeah, I saw that post on X, and I was like, ooh, this is very interesting, but I knew you could explain it better than I could, so I appreciate you calling in. All right, 406-294-0970 is the number. Next up on the phone lines, let's go to Derek in Kalispell. Derek, what's on your mind this morning? Thanks for the call.
Aaron, good to hear from you. Listen daily, enjoy the show. What I wanted to bring to your attention to people across my Flathead Valley here, our favorite anti-conservative news group here, you know, the Daily Interlink, recently put out a post about the Forever Chemicals announcement here that we've had having an issue with in the Kalispell. And I just want to kind of address the county. Who's taking responsibility for this, for the people that have been impacted by these PFAS?
What would your answer be? What would your answer be?
Well, I definitely feel like a large class action needs to be brought across the county for any parents that have had recently newborn babies born with birth defects due to these PFAS and other things. Just people taking a regular daily shower or whatever they got to do with our city water, how they've been poisoned for the last. The Daily Interlink wants to tell us last 2 years since they didn't report it, but I believe it's been longer than that. they've been trying to throw band-aids on it and advertise it around the county as, hey, we're fixing the problem, but I don't believe so.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. Appreciate you calling in and sharing your thoughts. Yeah, we'll see see what kind of response that can gin up here as well. Thanks for calling in. 406-294-0970 is the number for you as well. Before we run out of time here, hey, I got to give do a tribute here to our friend Dwayne Ankeny. For those of you who haven't heard the sad news that we heard over the weekend, former state representative and state senator Dwayne Ankeny at a Colstrip passed away. And when I heard the news over the weekend, I tried to think of a way to describe his passing. And this is just kind of what came to mind. Montana says goodbye to the king of coal, the king of coal families, to be more precise. Dwayne Ankeny was passionate about fighting for the coal miners and their families in Colstrip. I shared some remarks from Congressman and former Trump Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke. Also, some very heartfelt remarks from Jason Small, a good friend of Dwayne Ankeny's, who's the head of the Montana AFL-CIO. He's also a Northern Cheyenne tribal member, former Republican state senator, and coal-fired power plant boilermaker who served with Ankeny in the legislature. You can see both of those tributes and more. Go to MontanaTalks.com. All right, another caller on the phone lines before we run out of time this hour. We've got Mark in Laurel. Mark, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call. Okay, I'm not hearing Mark. I see. It must have just lost him there. Okay, I just transferred his call in, and then we lost him. All right. Okay, now I've got about another minute to go here. See what I get for trying to sneak in one more call at the very last second here. Here is what Jason Small had to say in tribute to Senator Dwayne Ankeny. I've had some swollen eyes since I got the news earlier. Gone is a huge influence, mentor, and a man I've always looked up to. Spent my whole life around him in some capacity. Dwayne was a family friend and a person who was always willing to help and guide. He took public service seriously and strived to help out his community and others around him. He helped me get my Boilermaker career off the ground and later on lent me guidance in the political arena and was often my greatest supporter. I appreciated everything you did for me and you will be missed. You were one hell of a man, and I know a lot of coal families in Colstrip are saying the same thing. Jason Small, thanks for sharing those words.